Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
An Erio's original.
Paul lives to cry.
He
loves being moved.
Yes.
And he gets moved so easily.
I want to be moved. That's true.
We watched The Parent Trap last night. Paul cried.
Yeah, but I was surprised by the lack of crying, and I wanted more.
My guest today on Filling the Void is Paul Rust, acclaimed actor, writer, and husband. That's what the mug says. Paul,
having me, my love.
Thank you for doing this. Judy, sit. Sit down. I think I know what your hobby is.
I hope people know that Judy is our dog, not a relative. No.
Yeah, Judy's our dog.
Sit down, Judy.
I don't know what the people know. Frankly, I don't care. Judy is a beast of burden.
Yeah, Judy's a golden doodle, beast of burden. The song Beast of Burden was...
Written by her
and about her. It was a self
Judy, leave Amanda's legs alone. Okay, I think Paul's hobby is the news.
The news.
Or like
Huey Lewis.
You're just like always into like scoops. That's why they call you Scoops. Paul Scoops.
Not because of my
Rust.
Favorite chip. I like
those
scoops.
I always thought you were going to say ice cream or something.
Oh.
Judy. Oh my God. Judy is literally eating Amanda's
Judy,
ass
relax.
Out. Hold on.
No.
Judy, come here.
She's Yeah, the slobbery equipment, we don't want that. And you're going to disentangle something or entangle.
Or you can go back to being your calm self.
Yes.
If you sit.
Why do you think she started acting out right when we started?
Her dog has been acting out radically lately, and I think it's because...
My gosh.
Our child constantly pulls on her tail and her ears... Yeah. And we stopped walking our dog. We stopped walking her.
Yes, yes.
So, and,
well.
We didn't walk her that much before.
It'd be worse if it was the opposite. If after we had a kid.
We just cared more.
We got a dog and then we started caring more about the dog.
That's so funny.
So Judy, the news.
You're a good girl. So yeah, so I think Paul's hobby is like the news, but like in... More generally speaking, I think you're into like getting the scoop and giving the scoop.
Mm.
I think you like the scoop.
The scoop. So getting, giving. Like
you're obsessed with the news.
That's like,
there was a certain point in our relationship where I had to ask Paul, when we wake up in the morning, like, please don't start with talking about Trump because...
Yes, yes.
It's really upsetting to me.
Well, because I would start just vocalizing my support every morning.
Yeah.
And you're like, I agree, Paul. I also support him. But let's just wait until noon. Until
like the second we woke up, you would be like, and listen to this. And this was like for a while. And I needed to know it and I understood it. And Paul is my news source. But I was like, you need to show me like a cute
right
puppy for, before least, we start going into scoops.
Yes, yeah, or at least a cute picture of Donald Trump
right.
first. yes, no, I get that. I understand. I feel. But, I think a lot of people feel that way, myself included, most often, which is like, do I have to start the day knowing what's going on with that guy?
But,
and if in case people didn't know, that was in jest, the support joke, obviously.
Yeah.
Because we're a bunch of libs out here in LA.
But also, like I said, we don't know what the people think.
That's true.
Maybe we don't care.
That's true.
Maybe that's what's fun about this podcast, Filling the Void, is that we're filling the void literally and figuratively.
I like it.
I guess the difference is that I don't look at the news. I barely look at the internet. And when I do, it's like best dystopian novels of 2018. Mm-hmm. Like it's not anything that's relevant to anyone.
Yeah.
And I also don't read user comments.
Uh-huh.
Not that I have so many, but I don't think you do. I don't know if you do.
Yeah, but the idea of using the internet either to be, it helps me escape or it gives me the fantasy that I'm connected to the world is interesting.
It gets you riled up is what happens.
I could see that. Or, you know, it's also, is it like a thing that I can project into, you know, it might not be it riles me up. It's like I have a riling within me.
Right.
And
right.
news helps me, you know.
Right.
You know.
Give it a place.
Give it a place to go.
Right.
Yeah. But I think that's probably true of.
For most people.
Yeah.
Do you read user comments on things that you put out that users are able to comment? By the way, I don't know if people. Do people comment on this podcast?
Yeah.
Where?
Well, there's Apple Podcast Reviews.
Uh-huh.
Then I'm sure there's other places where people can rate and review.
Yeah.
I've never read one. I don't plan on it. If they're good comments, thank you. If they're negative, thank you for listening and having an opinion.
That's good. That's a good attitude.
I don't want to know. Amy Poehler once said that it's like cutting. And I agree. And when I used to do Vice and used to put Dear Diary online, that was like when the internet comments were first starting. So there wasn't like, no one was censoring comments. Like you didn't need to like prove you weren't a robot or whatever.
Right, right, right. Or there might not have been much of a culture. Back then, as there is that. I mean, like,
they were awful, though. I mean,
when they did, I see.
Yeah, people wrote the meanest, like, racist, anti-Semitic, like, just cruel stuff.
Things people can hide behind the anonymity. Yeah.
And it really would get me upset. Yeah. And then Gavin was like, the people who are commenting are just like bored Canadian teenage boys. And so I believed him, whether or not that's true, so that when I picture commenters, I picture like bored Canadian teenage boys. And I don't care what, no
that's
offense
a good
to
way,
Canadian teenage boys. It just doesn't make a difference.
Martin
to
Short was a teenage boy once, so we got to believe that there's some good.
Yeah.
Good art.
Oh my God. I've never met a Canadian I didn't really like.
I don't think I've ever met an
Lisa
evil
Fuller
Canadian.
Is a Canadian. And she's listening to this.
And she's the greatest.
She's the best.
Yeah. The problem with reading comments and reviews, which I do is, or not the problem, the quandary is I love, before I was making stuff, loved reading reviews and comments of either it could be The New Yorker's Pauline Kael, as a film critic, or it could just be reading IMDb web board reactions to a movie just because it's fascinating to me to see like what somebody thinks about Owen Wilson's The Big Bounce.
Mm-hmm. Owen Wilson's The Big Bounce?
Yeah, remember that movie? It came out like the early aughties. It was like an Elmore Leonard He's like a Hawaiian private detective or something. I was just trying to choose a movie you would never want to know somebody's opinions about.
I don't even remember that movie, but I like that you do.
Yeah. But the problem is then once you start making stuff, it's hard to then turn off the thing like, oh, I love reading this stuff and now I can't read it just because it happens to be about me.
There are certain reviewers, I guess, like Matt Zoller's sites, Emily Nussbaum.
They're
and I like reading their reviews. And if they, I don't think they've ever reviewed anything that I've done or that we've done.
No, they haven't.
But if they had, even if they gave it a bad review, I'd be so honored that it had reached the place they were able, that where they were giving it mental space.
Yep. That's a good way of thinking about it. Yep.
Even if they didn't like it, I would still be like, oh, that's cool, though. It's important enough or it's cool enough for them to review it. But
it's like if somebody had been viciously impersonated on a variety program, you would flattering because you're in the consciousness enough to be
to
be a pariah.
But I guess I think it's cool because I've never been on the other side of it, so maybe it would also make me feel bad if somebody I respected didn't.
How did Robert Pattinson feel when people said nasty things about Twilight and he read it on the on cooldude.com message boards?
What if Pauline Kael gave something that you did a bad review?
Well, I know that Quentin Tarantino basically is like, Pauline Kael has been more influential than most filmmakers, and she retired the year that his first movie came out, and he was like, I was so relieved because I didn't have to like know what she felt about.
Right. I wonder if she would like his movies.
Yeah.
Probably not. She likes one movie. Yentl. No, just kidding. I don't know what movie she likes. Isn't there one movie that she likes?
I think the movie that she was like, it was the biggest experience she had watching the movies was Last Tango in Paris.
Right. Yeah.
And she famously or infamously never watched a movie more than once. But if you
read... he's got the scoops.
If you read her books... Well, scoops maybe is if that's AKA boring trivia, then I'm full of scoops.
No, but you also... Another one of your hobbies, I think, is like watching a single director's canon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And reading books by or about a director. So you go through these
A cycle of something,
blocks
yeah.
of one director, and you'll read books about them and watch all of their movies, and it's usually like the same five
just recycled. When I said cycle, we should have just said recycle, but you like to jump on that train with me sometimes.
Yeah, I like to know the things that you're talking about. So let's think of the five directors that you love to talk about the most and read the most about. Or let's see if I can guess. I'm going to say them and tell me if I'm right.
If there's people who listen to there's some people who listen to podcasts just to like calm down at the end of the night and fall asleep too. This is prime time when I start talking about five.
You were listening to it and you weren't you.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, this is right up my alley.
Okay.
So... you never know. Well, we talk about tons of stuff that's boring on here. This is actually one of the less boring hobbies.
Okay, good. What's the five you would think?
De Palma.
Yeah, Brian De Palma. So he did, just so Quentin people know, Carrie. Yeah.
He did Carrie and like a lot of other things. Uh-huh. Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. Just right now it's been two Italians.
Oh, cool.
Probably
Italians do it better, so
we have shirts that prove that.
Right. Spielberg.
Yeah.
Wait, I know it. Altman? No.
Probably not.
Okay.
I'd go a little bit more modern within the last...
The guy who made Gremlins or something?
Joe Dante. I had a big Joe Dante streak where I watched all of his movies like a few months ago.
But you wouldn't put him in the top five?
No, you've said...
Spielberg, De Palma,
Tarantino. And, yeah. So, you know, like maybe a David Fincher. We like to watch his movies a lot.
Yeah. And would you like to read about him?
Yes.
You've read about him.
Yes.
And then who's the last?
Probably like a Paul Thomas Anderson. Oh, yeah. Or Scorsese is a fun guy.
I was
always
going to say Scorsese.
Scorsese?
I'm like...
Scorsese.
I have this thing in my head the fact that you like Casino more than Goodfellas, I'm like, he doesn't actually like Martin Scorsese.
I would argue that's the opposite. If you like Casino more than Goodfellas, you do love, you're a true blue.
Maybe.
Scorsese.
I don't even know.
I don't know how to say it either. Once a seventh grade teacher said Martin Scorsese, and I was like, I guess he knows.
I think that's right. No, I remember Kat McCaffrey from HBO told me that the right way to say it, but I forget. But it's one
I wonder,
of those.
I bet it's Sessie. I think that's probably
how do you
the,
say it, Amanda?
Scorsese.
Scorsese.
That was originally going to be one of the...
hey, Scorsese, let me get a meatball.
You say... why am I blanking on the wooden peep that song? Yeah, it was Scorsese and Scorsese.
Do you say tomato?
No, but that song.
I know that song. Oh, but oh.
I say tomato. Doesn't everybody say tomato?
You say things weird sometimes.
I say tomato.
I know, but you do say ketchup.
Instead of ketchup?
Yeah, it's ketchup.
Mm.
Do you do that as a joke?
Nope.
And then when you say potato, you say potato. So I heard you saying it to Mary before in the other room.
I said potato.
You go potato, and she goes potato. And I was like, fuck, I got to get in there. I got to stop this from happening. And then sometimes you say shopping instead of, and you don't like it when people, you're.
Instead of shopping.
Yeah. It's the only thing that you don't put.
These are new ones.
It's the only thing you don't put the ing on the end of.
That's good. I like these because most often you hear, I've never heard these before. Like,
I know, I was scared to bring them
but
up.
But not even from, I don't mean from you or from others. I'm just saying I've never heard, like, I've heard the standard ones, like the BAG, bag versus big thing. So actually it's
I don't even know what that issue is. It's bag.
Yeah.
But when you say beg, it's wrong.
Well, previous guest Dan Harmon has been raked over the coals for his pronunciation of, which I also struggle with, bagel.
Yeah, bagel.
Okay. I say bagel.
You say bagel. No, wait, what do you say?
Bagel.
Why can't you say it?
Well, I just overemphasize.
Bagel.
Bagel.
And you also say Jager.
Yes.
Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's just like, you know, now you know that's
now
wrong.
I know, but I didn't know until I was like 24 and somebody.
I thought it was a bit.
It wasn't until I was on the set of 24 when I was 24.
No, when I saw you do a sketch or a skit or something.
Yeah, like a Funny or Die video. And somebody
I
was
the
like,
joke of the bit that was that yeah. You were saying Mick Jagger.
Well, speaking of user comments. That was that's all through the user comments is people going, it's so funny that he says he's a huge fan of his, but he can't pronounce his last name. What a funny joke. And I'm like, that was not intentional.
Never. I was going to say, take that to your grave, but it's
talking
too late.
Some Funny or Die comments from 11, 12 years ago. You know how meaningful they are to me. Clearly that I just
do you go back them. And look at comments from.
Yes,
you do.
Yeah, yeah.
From stuff you did 10 or 12 years ago. People still comment on that stuff?
Yeah, or I'll read a comment from 10 years ago and just revisit it.
Oh, my God.
Like an old
and you'll be like, this really hurt me.
No,
let's reopen that.
Not to sound like the guy who goes, and I wasn't this guy, but who goes, I didn't want to go to prom anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They rarely, if ever, hurt me. I'd say probably like 5% of the ones I read, I go, ooh. And it's usually if they like hit something that I is know is a true deficiency in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are just kind of like off base. But I think we've talked about it before. Like, what's more annoying, to have somebody you respect dislike something and you know they're right, or having somebody who you think is a dummy misunderstand something you're doing and dislike it? What's more aggravating in your mind?
somebody who I like.
Yeah.
But the one
I think so
caveat
too
is that I don't think anybody's right. Like, oh, I
guess something subjective,
if I cared about somebody who I admired, if it's somebody who I admire what their opinion is and they don't like the thing that I did, it would be more upsetting to me, but I wouldn't say that it's because they're right. It's just their opinion, man.
Yeah.
Like, it just is so, I mean, it's cliche to say that it's subjective, yeah, but isn't it? Like, I don't know if I feel good about it at the end of the day and go to sleep thinking like I did my best for today, then I feel good.
Yeah. I certainly don't question on the other side when somebody has a response to a piece of work. I don't question their response. I don't understand that. Like, when somebody comes out of a movie and they really liked it and you disliked it, like bringing up the, I mean, I can understand a reasonable discussion of a disagreement about a movie, but I don't get like the idea of like somebody trying to like unconvert somebody to their love for something.
Like, you like that? What about this? What about that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of like, oh, let people, same in a way with what a religion they practice. It's sort of like, oh, if it makes you happy, why would I come in and start pointing out why you shouldn't like something? It's kind of a bummer, man.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't have like a comfortable dialogue with someone who has a difference of opinion, then they're probably not like a good friend. Like, I don't know. Me and my friends disagree about stuff me and you do about stuff all the time. And we're like, you're like, I just thought it was this and that. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I thought it was awesome.
Well, I know exactly how Zach Braff and Mandy Moore felt about The Da Vinci Code because I eavesdropped on them as they walked out of the theater.
And who liked it and who didn't?
Are they dating?
No, this was many years ago. So they were dating.
I don't even know if they are. They could be married for all I know. I don't even remember. But Mandy Moore liked it and Braff didn't.
Yep.
And then they broke up that night.
I heard them break up over it.
They broke up over it.
I wouldn't like somebody eavesdropping on my conversation after a movie and talking about it later on a podcast, but I'm so sorry.
Aw. Yeah. Yeah, get ready for the backlash.
The scrub heads are going to come out after me.
I love scrubs, by the way.
I know. You'd be the first.
I am a scrub head.
You'd be the first one after me.
It's such a funny show. I've laughed. I've cried. Oh, another one of Paul's hobbies is crying. Paul lives to cry.
I like crying.
He loves being moved.
Yes.
And he gets moved so easily.
I want to be moved. That's true.
We watched The Parent Trap last night. Paul cried.
Yeah, but I was surprised by the lack of crying and I wanted more.
I know.
I was disappointed at the end.
At the end, I knew you weren't crying. And I was going to say for a second, I was going to be like, Paul, are you crying? But I could hear you behind me. I was looking at my phone. You were behind me. And I would be able to tell even when not looking at you if you were crying or not.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, he's not crying.
Yeah, I wasn't.
But there was a point where you were crying.
Yeah, I forget what scene it was.
This is like my favorite story, and if I've mentioned it before, you can edit this out, which I probably have. But I once described to Paul, he didn't see the commercial, I just described a MaxiPad commercial. Tears.
Well, and then you described a Kleenex commercial to me, and I had my period. Is that weird?
Yeah. Silly. Okay, so we got that. Your hobbies
are... We'll put that
under
the category of silly.
Silly. Your hobbies are the news, director's canons, and crying.
Yeah.
Five director's canons. And
crying.
Joe Dante and crying.
And those are probably all related. I was going to just say filming locations. I think those are
fun. Oh my God,
fun.
That is another one of Paul's total hobbies.
Yeah.
He loves finding where things were shot and going to them in any city we are at, but especially LA and New York, because we never travel.
Or just different towns within LA County.
Yeah.
We'll have different. Yeah. Yeah. But well, we don't have to talk about it.
That was a really fun day, though, when we went to the farm and we picked berries and stuff. And then it started pouring rain. And then on the way home, Paul took me to the Poltergeist house.
Yes, that was fun.
And also, I guess your another hobby is your podcasts with Matt.
Well, I was going to say, it's so funny. I was just about to say this. You know, you're pulling information out of me like, oh, what movies do you like to watch and who do you like to talk about in a good way? When it's funny that Amanda's husband has to be the bearer of me just like shouting what I love about movies to him 3.5 hours a week when we talk about the Friday 13th and Halloween movies on our podcast In Voorhees We Trust with Gorley and Rust, and In Myers We Trust with Geyers and Rust.
You can listen to it now on Stitcher.
Yes, but okay. Matt and I, we really get into it, and our the episodes are 3.5 hours long. They're way too long.
It's insane.
But when I read the user comments,
so crazy.
They seem to like how long they are, and I wish podcasts went long all the time.
I do too, actually. I like true crime ones. So when each episode is really long, I'm like, oof, this is going to be a brutal.
It's how I feel about like anything when something's too, like when somebody's like, oh, such and such a movie is indulgent or whatever. It's like, well, if you love it, then you're more than happy that it indulges in it.
Indulges.
That a movie indulges in whatever its indulgence.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
If people want to listen to you guys talk for 3 hours, then... great.
Yeah.
I've never listened to one episode.
That's fine.
Okay, so now we're going to listen to some emails that people wrote or some phone calls and voicemails that people left about what their hobbies are.
Excellent.
Hey, this is Kate from Portland, Oregon. One of my hobbies is walking around and looking for free boxes. I'm looking right now. I found a couple tables. Didn't really like them. Some books, but I don't know. We'll see what we'll find. Another thing is that I just thrifted a ton of beads, like plastic glass beads, weird little strings, stuff like that. And I just like sit at home at night and make bracelets and necklaces. And I've just started making my friends' necklaces. I make one almost every day. And it's kind of hard to stop once you start. But those are my hobbies. Bye.
Kate, I love that hobby.
Yeah.
I love that stuff.
Yes.
I always, when I see a free box, it's hard for me not to look through it. And free furniture. I do get afraid of bed bugs when it's furniture, or maybe that was more of a fear in New York.
Hmm. Yeah, it seems to be more of a... No, but a free box is so much fun.
So much fun.
Walking up, and then I think what's fun about it, twofold. One, I might find a treasure...
Right.
I might find
it's like treasure hunting.
I might find something that I want to put on my shelf and keep for myself, and it'd be so much fun. The second thing is you get a little insight into who made that free box. You look through their books and you go,
right.
Oh, I get kind of an idea of who this
person
is.
Was into the psychology of trees or
yes,
whatever.
Yeah.
Totally. I love that.
Or the spirituality of mushrooms. They went on a little kick there.
I like that too.
And then the bracelets thing I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Because if you can find a way to make your hobby a thing that makes your friends happy and you can express your love for your friends, what a nice two birds, one stone.
I know it does seem really cathartic to make bracelets and necklaces. Just beading in general, I think that sounds soothing.
Yeah.
And I like the tactile feeling and sound of beads.
Yep, me too. Yeah. I could
sometimes
see how putting...
I just think they're kind of ugly is my issue.
I think I could see putting one on a one after another and seeing then a whole string of them put together being really satisfying. Because in a way, without sounding too pretentious here, it's sort of like what writing is. You kind of like put scene after scene after scene that you think all work together, and then you have a nice string of them. You can look at them all together. Sorry,
yeah,
edit that
make...
out forever. Till death.
When you make jewelry, you don't have to think.
That's true. Although if you have a pattern you want to do, and it's like two blues, one green, two blues, what, two green.
Yeah, it just is easier. But no, I do really like that so much. It's hard for me to find beads that I think are worthy, or maybe I just don't. I don't know if I have an eye for jewelry, and so I don't wear a lot of it, and I don't wear a lot of beaded things because, yeah, I just don't often find beads that I think are.
Well, she said that was
pretty,
interesting,
but
the vintage beads.
Yeah,
too.
That is a cool. Because
then that makes vintage shopping a fun adventure. Sort of.
I love.
Am I going to find some fun beads?
Yeah, I agree. You're right. That's like a good thing to search for. I love looking for cool vintage buttons. I know that's really like Brooklyn of me, but I think they're pretty.
There's a Brooklyn, Iowa, by the way. So that'd be funny if that's what you meant.
Yeah.
I know it's really
by Brooklyn, I mean Brooklyn, Iowa. Obviously.
The funny joke in Iowa when you're driving on the highway and you go by the sign that says like exit to Brooklyn, you go, we took a wrong turn somewhere. Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Hi, Leslie. This is Bruce Bernardo. I listened to your podcast and I found it very interesting. I was thinking you might be interested in talking to me at some point. I collect insects. I've been collecting insects for over 20 years, but I specifically have praying mantises and phasmids, which are like walking sticks. But I find them really interesting, and anyway, look forward to hearing from you, and I hope you your podcast is doing well. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
Bruce,
he sounds like a sweetheart.
Bruce,
what a nice guy.
The boss.
The boss.
Of insects.
That's right.
I hope your friends call you that. Bruce, thank you so much for calling and leaving such a nice message.
Yeah.
I think your hobby is so scary. Now, praying mantis and the other bug you described walking sticks is, I mean, that's really cool that you collect them. I genuinely think that's cool and that you are so passionate about that. And I do think it's cool to see those bugs. Like, praying mantises are rare, or is it a certain kind that's rare or something? Mm. Or they, I don't know. They're special.
Yeah.
But they're so scary. Walking sticks are so scary, Bruce. And I'm not a bug lover.
Yeah, you're scared of... No, I wouldn't say scared.
I'll tell you what I'm not scared of. Out of all of the bugs are spiders.
Yeah.
Because my mom told me when I was growing up, spiders are good luck because they eat other insects.
Yeah. No, you've been a big... I was going to say subscriber of the spider, which is that, hey, don't kill a spider. They actually do the dirty work of killing the bugs that you don't like. Snakes, I hate. Snakes freak me out, man.
Not bugs.
But bugs don't freak me out.
Bugs
so,
freak
so Bruce
me
talking
out.
About it, I was like, oh, rap, Bruce. Yeah, man, you're talking my language, bugs.
You don't love bugs.
It's not like I love bugs, but
they
like.
They just don't scare you.
No.
No, snakes scare me too, but like most reptiles, except for newts and like tiny lizards, most reptiles scare me, but and snakes are scary, but like bugs are like what we think aliens look like. Like whenever there's a drawing of an alien, they look like an insect.
Yeah, or the movie Alien, the way they hatch and stuff is like bugs.
A bug's life.
I grew up with cicadas. Bug's life, no fun life.
Yeah, I grew up with cicadas.
And cicadas, I just found this out, are really interesting that they're like ancient beings that are in the ground and released. Like their
mating call is the sound we hear in the summer.
Yep. The sound of the cicadas.
I do think there's a comfort in the sound. I don't want to see them. I don't want them flying in my face, stinging me, on me. I don't want to be part of their mating ritual in any way. A fucking flying roach? No, dude. It's like, oh, here's a water bug that's giant and it flies. And bees, protect them. They make honey and sting you. Yeah. And really, it really, really hurts.
You don't like bees.
I hate them. Wasps. They sting you because they want to hurt you.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God. Yeah. They're terrifying. And that new breed of mosquitoes that's now in LA.
I definitely don't like that. I don't like how they're invisible.
Praying mantises are gentle.
Yeah, and they look kind of
godlike creatures.
They are.
They're really.
I was curious when Bruce was talking about if it was.
I would never kill a praying mantis if it was live or dead.
And when he gets them.
Good question.
When they're part of his collection, I have to imagine that they're like, maybe he naturally lets them die or whatever. I'm not being like PETA about this. Does he put them? How does he display them? Are they like pinned behind glass?
No, maybe he puts them in like glass jars and lets them live until they naturally.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, Bruce, that you're not Buffalo Bruce, and this isn't Silence of the Lamb podcast. I couldn't think of a pun for that.
The prequel to Silence of the Lambs is Silence of the Lamb.
I don't think that is who you are, Bruce. But I love your voicemail was so nice. Yeah, and I love that you called in and wanted to talk about it.
My podcast or anything. It was about your podcast. It warmed my heart.
I know. Bruce, if you want to call back, I can't call you directly only because I don't call anybody directly, not even my mom, and everybody gets mad at me. But the number for this show is 844-370-8643. And if you want to tell us a little bit more about how you collect them, what you do with them, when you were first interested in collecting them, I don't know. I'm curious about that. Like how did this passion come up for you? And does it have anything to do with what you do for a living? Because if it is, it's not filling the void. You know what I mean?
Right. If he's a bugologist, a paid bugologist. Sorry, buddy. It's not the criteria of the podcast.
I wonder where one finds so many praying mantises and walking stick bugs.
Mantis
they're rare.
Church.
Silly.
two sillies and a funny.
Two sillies and a funny.
I got two sillies and a funny.
All right. Okay, let's.
Oh.
Hey, Leslie. My name is Mary Rose. And I just have to say, I am so thankful there's someone else out there that doesn't like cooking. I have a lot of irrational anger about cooking. I think probably because I'm a mom. I have a teenage boy and an almost teenage boy, and I feel bad that I haven't taught them how to like cook for themselves, but I hate it so much. And I'm just thankful for Trader Joe's. I just get all their frozen delicious meals and I just heat them up and I'm done. But you had this really funny comedian on, Kate Berlant. She was great, but man, it brought up so many of these feelings I have about hating cooking. For example, she said, oh, there's this really easy, like, North African pesto that I make. And as soon as she said it's really easy, I'm like, no, it's not going to be easy. And of course, it wasn't, because then she listed all these ingredients, like spices, that I probably have in my cupboard from the, like, last time I tried to cook 3 years ago, and so all the spices are like expired. So to make this, I'm going to have to go buy more spices that I'm not going to use for 3 more years. So I'm already angry about that. And then she said something about a preserved lemon. What the hell's that? Oh, I felt so stupid. Like, where am I getting a preserved lemon? Anyway, and then you just pulse it. And then she says, you just throw it on some fish, put it in the broiler, done. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm sorry. I am not throwing this on the fish. I don't even know where to begin with that. Long story short, I'm really glad there's someone else in the world that really doesn't like cooking. And it just always gets me so frustrated and filled with guilt and shame. But you are out there, so thank you. Anyway, I love your podcast. Thank you for letting me vent. Have a great day.
Oh my God. So Mary funny. Rose, you are speaking my language.
She's cracking us up.
You're so laughing. Funny. We were just laughing all throughout that. I could not agree more. First of all, spices cost like $12. And so you need a pinch of a spice. And then you go and you put a pinch and then you have this like $1,000 spice, saffron, sitting around. You have nothing else to do with it. And it's collecting dust. And then I guess it expires. I didn't even know that spices expired, but they probably do. I would know that if I ever looked in the cupboard where we have 1,000 spices that we never open. And there's just like 2 cans of Pam in there that I reach in for. I hate cooking. I think it's so smart what Mary Rose said about how she regrets like not teaching her teenage boys mm-hmm. to cook. Like, that's what we need to do. We need to teach our Mary
to cook, to cook for us.
And she loves, our daughter loves food and loves eating. And both Paul and I don't like
her
cooking.
Little kitchen
Paul setup. Likes cooking more than I do.
That's true.
Agree?
Yep. Yeah. I cooked this today.
But you're not trying to like go out on a limb and cook like South African pesto.
Right.
And
it's not like I'm necessarily like having a blast. Right. You know, like, you know, when you were describing having a spice that you may never touch and it gets dusty, I thought, oh, it's probably, I try to sometimes think, well, what passion do I have that's equal to that and like similar? And I guess it would be like, oh, there's some DVDs I have that I might not watch for 10 years, mm-hmm. but I like the idea that it's within my collection and in my reach for my passion.
Yeah.
And so I bet for some people,
spices.
I don't either for spices, but I bet somebody's like, ooh, it feels good to know I have some saffron when I
right,
need it.
I guess. It's also like, yeah, just throw some preserved lemon on it. Also don't know what that is. Throw it on some fish, throw it in the broiler and like you're done. And it's like, no, then you have to set your timer for 45 minutes, which means you have to get up again. So you can't really complete a task because who can get like what yeah. can you do in 45 minutes?
Well, and also to speak to her, if she has any anxiety about not teaching her teenage sons about how to cook, you know, just because you would love cooking doesn't necessarily even mean you would teach that to your... Like, my mom is a good cook and likes to cook.
She but doesn't really love it as much as we think she does.
Well, I think that's the dilemma of any, right, when you're looking at your mom. It's like, oh, how much was she enjoying it? Or how much was she just right. being a good mom and, like, being, you know, like, being there? But, like, I did feel like, you know, she didn't teach me how to cook. So even what I... Because I had zero interest in it. So I'm saying,
don't
feel
think
bad.
Rose
Your teenage kids might not even give a shit.
No, I don't think that she even cooks. She was like, right. I do frozen meals or right. whatever because they need to eat. Like, we need to provide.
Yes.
Whereas, like, Paul and I would probably be dead at this point because neither of us... Not only do we not like cooking, we don't like... It's... We don't like... I mean, we do. We just don't like talking or thinking about food and, like... I'm going to move on only because I probably spend more time talking about how I don't like talking about food than anything, which is ironic. And I don't want to live in that kind of space.
Yeah. But
but I do want to know early if Mary Rose lives in LA because I feel like we should be friends.
Yeah. And very early on in our relationship, I think we were both like, God, I wish there was just a pill you could eat that like filled you up for 5 hours and you didn't have to think. And I still stand by that. Like, I don't find enough pleasure in the taste in eating a food, which I know sounds like, I find no pleasure in eating food.
Yeah, but like nothing is ever really so good unless you're like, unless you love to cook or you're spending a lot of money going to a good place.
The one time I think you and me do find pleasure in eating would be like room service can be very tantalizing. And maybe that's how some people view food all the time is like, that level of
we love eating in bed or in our room, but I loved the food delivery service that we used to get, and that was such a great solution. Munchery, I think, and they shut down, so we're back to anorexia.
That's not true. All right, here we go.
If people keep calling in, we can do this like once.
My obsessive hobby is finding real life locations where movie scenes were shot. It started in New York, which is an easy one. Almost everywhere you turn, you can see something that's been featured in a film. But I've made special trips. A highlight would be going out to Rhode Island to visit all the locations from Moonrise Kingdom. I'm planning on going out to Atlanta, to the Atlanta area, to see all the Stranger Things locations. I like hunting down movie locations. Great podcast, and yeah, that's my two cents.
Ugh. I wish I knew that guy's name.
A man after my own heart.
Sir, I hope you listen to this, because I'm going to let Paul talk about it for a second, because that's his hobby too, and it's just a coincidence that...
Yeah, what a nice little bit of...
We did that, and
kismet.
I don't know your name, but we'll call you...
What if it was me? I just like vocal pitched. I did a different pitch to my voice.
Did you hear my joke though?
What?
I was like, we'll call you Movie. But yours was funnier.
Movie.
So Paul, maybe tell Movie what some of your favorite locations that you have been to.
Well, I'm a big, like you said, Brian De Palma fan, and Body Double, this movie that Brian De Double did. Is a love letter, a Valentine to Los Angeles locations. And there was one that I'll only mention this one, but it was, I'd watch the movie and go, I wonder where that is. I wish I could figure out where that is. And meanwhile, the whole time there was a road that I would walk by and I'd go, that is such a pretty street. And I never put together that they were the same thing until
cool.
I found out online, and I was like, oh, okay.
What street is it?
It's sort of up in the hills of Hollywood. It's like a brick wall that's like, I think it's for the stretch of the house that's containing it, but it's just like for a long block, half a block, it's just like this really pretty brick wall.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, and it's during a cool part of the movie.
You know what location I love? That's not a movie location, but it's the Black Dahlia.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody hasn't listened to the Root of Evil podcast and they like true crime and murders, it is the best. It's the best one that ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
And the house our house is right in the same neighborhood. And like, I passed it by every single day.
Yeah.
And then one day we were like, that's it. That's the house.
That's so
cool. And it's so different than every other house, yet it's so easy to miss for some reason.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? You
and
should be able to see
so
it.
So much crazy shit went down. Like
black sex magic.
Black sex magic. Yeah. With like Salvador Dali and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's so cool.
And they were like, the most surreal form of art is murder.
Yeah. They were like, the highest form of art is murder. They're not wrong.
Locations, like whether they be filming or like historical.
Tell me about some other ones.
No. I just meant like going to them.
Yeah.
I think when he said like the Moonrise Kingdom, I thought, I get that, because I would be like, the feelings I get watching that movie to go to that actual place, you get kind of like a contact high or something off of being around that area. You're like, oh, I'm sort of...
It's romantic.
And I'm getting to enjoy the movie like how I enjoyed it, but in a different way, and in a way, a more tactile way or something.
Yeah, like when we go to the LA River, it's like, this is gross. But then you're like, oh, this is where they did... the drag race in Greece. I'm like, this place rules.
Yeah. And I think it is fun to imagine if you like worship John Travolta like I do.
Yeah.
If you go to the LA River or something, and or the Marshall High School field, and you go, I know at the very least John Travolta like was here.
Oh,
it's
my
like
God,
very
Paul
cool.
Has the biggest crush on John Travolta, past, present, and future.
Every girl I've ever dated, I've said this to you, every girl I've ever dated, I've always been more into John Travolta than them. There's always a moment where I'll go like, and John Travolta, I mean, what a handsome, and he's so talented, and he's a great singer and dance. Like, how could he have it all? And they'll be like, I think that dimple in his chin is weird. I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. But
he was so good in Grease.
Yeah.
And I heard he's great in Hairspray. I've not seen it.
I just think there's no person who has that level of movie star charisma that also has a sensitivity and a vulnerability that is like those that combo. Oh boy.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, but Philip Seymour Hoffman's not like a matinee idol looking
guy. You're right. Okay, we have to go.
No, I was doing this like
no, it is time.
Philip Seymour Hoffman. Oh.
You're right. He doesn't have the Scientology good looks. You're right.
Well, he played a founder right. of Scientology.
He did
Scientology,
play a master
like, yes.
of Scientology.
I wonder if
wink through the microphone.
I wonder if that's what you do. You think that was the train
no,
of thought?
I was just trying to think of somebody. I was gonna say Tom Cruise, but he doesn't have that. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's everything, and I love him. He's my favorite actor. Up
yeah.
there.
Tom Cruise is great too. Also,
you know what? I had in my dream, Brad Pitt and Leonardo were, I was at the Oscars, but it was totally empty because like movies aren't cool anymore or something. And for some reason I was presenting and I was wearing like jeans and sneakers.
Oh, that's cool.
And Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio were in the front. Like they were like best friends.
Oh, they were hanging out together.
I hope
at the Oscars.
I think they're cool with each other.
I think so. When you were saying that dressing up at the Oscars in jeans, you know, when somebody does something like revolutionary, this is a 20-year-old gripe, I think. But when people were like Bjork in her swan dress, it's like she knows.
No,
she knows it's
her
unusual.
Swan dress was amazing.
And it's not like you got her by pointing out that the swan dress was a little quirky. Oh boy.
No, she was.
It drives me bananas. And it still comes up every year. They'll be like the worst dressed Oscars list Bjork swan dress. It's like, oh.
No, she's so cool. That swan dress is iconic. And
yeah, it was dope.
People, whenever there's like worst dressed, best dressed, it's like all homogenized, boring, basic yeah. bullshit. Like yeah. it's not, I don't even know if they exist anymore, but if they do, yeah. they're not for me. Our kid is crying. We have to go. She's been sitting alone in a corner ever since we started this podcast.
She had a kind okay. babysitter watching after her.
We gotta go. Call the number. I'll talk to you guys soon. Love you. Paul, thank
hey, this
you.
This was fun, Les.
You're the love of my life.
You're the love of my life.
Okay, bye.
Never miss an episode of Filling the Void. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Rate, review, and tell a friend. It really helps. Filling the Void is an Erios production with editing by Molly Hockey and original music by Michael Cassidy.
An Erios original.
Powered by Acast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Hey marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.